We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you, and welcome to a sporting occasion. The contest between John Amos and Frank Muir on the one hand, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden on the other. In other words, My Music. I did say sporting occasion. We begin with some musical sportsmen, or sportsmen at any rate trying to be musical. In each case, I'll give you just a hint as to their identities. John, you first. This man taught royalty to sail.
Australia, my lads, is a mighty fine place. Heave away,
heave away,
heave away,
heave away.
And to go there, my lads, is no disgrace. We're bound for Australia. Heave away,
John,
that's foxed me.
It has, that's right, yes.
Now, I've never had occasion to use his Christian name. I don't know whether he's Ufer or
no,
Uffer.
He's Uffer.
Uffer.
Uffer Fox.
An identified sailing object.
Oh, very good. But he's clearly Australian.
Well, yes. Uffer Fox, sailor, author, one-time shipmate of the Duke of Edinburgh, and singer.
I went sailing in Australia, you know, last October. It was off the coast of Queensland, but they didn't sing much, you know, the sailors. We went marlin hunting.
Marlin, yes.
At least
marlin.
I didn't, but I mean the brave chaps did. Have you ever seen that done? Sort of Ernest Hemingway stuff, you know, sit
in... They're like swordfish, aren't they? Aren't they things with long proboscis or whatever?
These chaps I were with, they caught two, but they were too small, so they threw them back. They were only 800 pounds. You only catch them and bring them aboard if they're 1,000 pounds or more, you think.
Lovely. Well, Uffer Fox was there singing Australia. Yeah. Still sportsman, Frank, a steaming champion. Steaming champion, I said.
Mary Peters.
It's very difficult because very little voice emerged from the ensemble of sounds.
Yes. An American gentleman.
A gentleman, is it?
Yes, an American gentleman. Americans would call him non-Caucasian, I suppose. Steaming so-and-so, so-and-so, he's known as. You don't know, I'm afraid.
I have no idea at all.
No. Shall we ask the audience, please, who was it? Who's steaming... Yes, thank you. Steaming Joe Frazier.
Who spoke? Who was that?
it was a girl over there.
No, it was Joe Frazier. Great heavyweight champion. I can't give you a mark. Ian, a horizontal champion, they used to say, of this singer.
Thank God for a girl that we never thought fall. Thank God for the sun.
It's going back a bit.
It is going back a bit, yes.
Yes, a picture comes up on my sort of cinema screen of crinkly black hair and a rather bashed face, and it's Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle it was, the Irish boxer. Probably, I think, the best singer who ever boxed, or perhaps the other way around.
Yes, Tommy Trinder used to say that Jack Doyle... At the time, used to say Jack Doyle got arrested at customs trying to leave the country because on his passport we had professionally put down boxer.
Dear, yes.
He didn't say that in the presence of Jack Doyle.
No, he didn't, actually. Jack Doyle came after him with his lovely film star wife, Movita.
That's right, yes.
Movita.
The other thing they used to say about Jack Doyle was that instead of singing Mother McKee, it would be better if he'd fought her.
Yes.
Remember that?
It was Tommy Trinder, I think, who coined the great phrase of the various ages of men, which were young, middle-aged, and my goodness, you look well.
That's nice. Dennis, your turn for you, a master, and quite a good singer, too.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic foods, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru.
Not at all,
isn't he?
Yeah.
Fly with me. He's not a pole vaulter or anything like that.
No, a master, I said.
Master. Chess?
Golf.
Golf.
Golf. I'm sorry, my thoughts go to chess.
Yes. Green jacket, gentlemen.
Just happen I play golf, you play chess.
Do you recognise the voice?
I don't know. I don't know the golfers. You know the golfers. Jack Nicklaus, suddenly the name comes up.
No, I don't think he would sing a swinging song like that.
Wouldn't he sing
What nationality?
British.
Oh, British.
Comes from my home county.
Oh, you're Tony Jacklin.
Yes, Tony Jacklin. Tony Jacklin singing Come Fly With Me, and
you're
really making a very good job of it, too.
Grow a moustache. Extremely talented man.
This next round concerns mainly opera. John, born in Cannes, 1904, she made her debut at the Met in 1931. She never actually won an Oscar, but she did win the Légion d'honneur, which I, for one, would prefer, I think. Can you give her a name, in fact, two names for her, please?
Are they both four letters?
I count the two four-letter words as one name, really. Yes, have a go. Tell me.
Lily Pons.
Lily Pons, yes. Pronounced like that, two Pons. Otherwise, Mrs...
Well, she was married to André Costelanets.
Yes, she was Mrs. André Costelanets.
I heard a lovely thing about President Ford introducing Beverly Sills at a White House concert. I can see Dennis knows this. Yeah. And he said, I'd like to introduce Beverly Sills, who sings everything from Verdi ballads to Strauss operations.
Lovely. Lily Pons, it was alias Mrs. Costelanets. Frank, Sir Michael Tippett wrote an opera called The Knot Garden. Knot Garden. Whence the name?
There's an area round my house, I've got one of these, which is ground and not garden. Is that...
Yes.
Also, it's K-N-O-T, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Well, it's a very old phrase for rather contrived flower beds.
Yes.
And it's a flower knot, was a flower garden.
Yes. Could you put a precise period on it?
Pre-Shakespeare.
Well, yes, or rather, I've got it down as a formal Elizabethan garden in miniature style. I've got a definition from somewhere. And from Francis Bacon, as for knots or figures that lie under the windows of the house, they be but toys. There's other references too, yes, the knot garden. Ian, talking of Lily Pons just now, I read that the Met revived for her operas that had long been neglected for lack of a suitable soprano. Lacme, La Sonnambula, Le Coq d'Or. She also sang the taxing role, it says, of Linda. Linda who?
Oh, there's an opera by Donizetti called...
Yes.
I've never heard it, but I've heard a very taxing soprano aria on record from Linda di Chamonix.
Absolutely, that's right, by Donizetti. Dennis, where might you have heard Janissary music?
Well... I've been to Istanbul, so I do know this, because we had a very boring tour guide. And all I can remember, the Janissaries were kind of Praetorian guard for whoever was top Turk at that time. Well, value-added Turks, they were. And all I can remember about them is that they were not allowed to grow beards.
Ah, yes. Well, Turkish army music. Gluck, Mozart and Haydn took an interest in it. Mozart's Turkish Rondo was an imitation of Janissary music.
All the Janissaries were slaughtered, weren't they? As I remember, it's all coming back now. They actually tried to burn down Istanbul over 140 times, and so it was decided they should be got rid of eventually.
It's almost gross behaviour.
Yeah.
Just suddenly lost patience, people did.
Can't have been popular with a local insurance company.
No. I'm going to play you just the middle bit of a popular song.
Go on.
And ask you to name the song, but I should warn you that any singing will cost you a penalty of, say, half a mark or something. John, here's yours.
¶¶
title?
Time goes by, and I'm still waiting for my friend on my right to tell me what it is.
Oh, no.
Time goes by?
Yeah. Nearly.
It's the worst lyric in the world. As time goes by.
As time goes by. It's the worst lyric in the world, is it really?
Yeah, you must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is but a sigh.
The sentimental things apply.
That's a nice
line.
Have you ever listened to operatic lyrics? That is a gem, but the
they're in a foreign language. So it doesn't
exactly,
count.
I'm just going to say, that's why I always sing everything in a foreign language.
Yeah.
Says Frank, I'll make a joke about it.
Has John got one out of one, do you think?
Yeah.
All right, then. As Time Goes By was the title, yes. Right, Frank, a little bit for you.
Go on, then. Right. See if I can. Enrico Secum.
Yes. Enrico Secum has been known to perform it, yes.
If I ruled the world.
The world. If I ruled
the world.
Sing.
I didn't sing.
No, you didn't sing. No, no. Right. Ian, one for you.
Faintest idea what that is. Actually, Frank saying you must remember this takes me back to wartime concerts where I used to part of my party piece was to do an imitation of Winston Churchill as he would have sung that or said that particular song, which was very popular because it was in the film Casablanca, and I remember it when you must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh. It's just a sigh. And on like that.
Yes,
but
well,
that doesn't movie. Get me any nearer what that was.
Don't you know it? I
wish I knew that. That's what it goes on to.
And he goes on. Her name is Mary.
Oh,
do you remember?
I've sung as well.
No,
so
Harold Ramsey.
The tune by the organist Harold Ramsey. That's right.
I just thought I'd put that in because usually I don't ever score on kind of questions.
Well, you failed on that.
I failed on that one.
No, I know.
See how Dennis gets on with an easy one. Gets on with an easy one, and this is identifying the tune. I also want to know, please, in your case, the name of the composer.
Imagination is thrilling.
Yes. Imagination. Composer?
Composer. My wits have deserted me. Absolutely deserted me. Is it Mercer? Is it Johnny Mercer?
No, it isn't.
No,
man who wrote the song of the shirt. Van Heusen.
Van Heusen, I'm sorry.
No. Well, I think you only have half a mark there.
Right.
Rossini. Composer was given lots of pleasure, not least with his Rumpty Tumpty overtures. John, I've strung together the very openings of four of Rossini's most popular overtures. Get your pen out. Can you please put them in order for us? Here they are.
I'll tell you what the first one is.
Four Rossini overtures.
I can't remember what that first one is. The second one's The Barber of Seville. The third one is Scala di Setra. And the fourth one is La Gazza Ladra.
Yeah. And you must have got the best part of one mark. Very good. I think he's got 1.5 out of one, don't you? The first one was The Italian Girl in Algiers. Then The Barber of Seville. Then The Silken Ladder, La Scala di Setra. And The Thievish Magpie, which is La Gazza Ladra. Frank, here's a bit more from the Barber of Seville overture. And so on. Frank, whose trilogy gave rise to that story?
Beaumarchais.
Yes. Pierre Augustin, Caron de Beaumarchais.
There were two good plays and one rotten one.
Yes.
And they're all about the old classical theme of a conniving servant.
Yes, one of them appealed to Mozart and another one to Rossini. The third play, as you perhaps know, La Mère Coupable, tells how the Countess has a child by Cherubino and Figaro saves his master from being swindled by an Irish officer. Nobody, so far as I know, particularly wanted to set that to music, although they may have done.
But a German composer recently wrote an opera called The Divorce of Figaro.
That's rather nice.
Beaumarchais is the French for pretty cheap.
Beaumarchais.
No? Not really, is it?
Yeah,
really.
There's a cousin called Beaumarchais.
No, yes. Lived in Brixton.
Uh-huh. Ian, here's some more of Rossini's music. Ian, rather nice piece of musical history, this. When Rossini's body reached Florence, there was a procession of 6,000 mourners, four military bands, and, I'm now quoting, a chorus of 300 which sang the prayer from Mosè to such effect that the crowd in front of Santa Croce cheered until it was encored. Splendidly Italian scene. But what, please, was Mosè?
Oh, dear. When we started a round on Rossini, I thought to myself, now, Rossini is something about which I know a little, having sung in a few of his operas, and surely there will be something here. Mosè. Never heard of that.
Really?
No.
Well, then
unless it can't be a reference to the...
It's a translation
Alexander and Mosè.
Translation of somebody's name. Any ideas, Dennis?
Mosè.
How do you spell it?
M-O-S-E.
Moses, I presume.
Yes. Now, Rossini's something to do with Moses?
Presumably he must have written an opera about Moses.
Mosè in Egitto. Moses in Egypt.
Really?
Oratorio, yes.
Yeah. Oh, it was an oratorio, not an opera.
That's right. So you're saying it doesn't count for that reason?
No, not at all. I'm just sort of covering myself, and I thought I knew most of his operas.
A friend of mine in the audience, a Yorkshireman, who sings in Messiah at the drop of a hat, he'll come up and crown you if you suggest that oratorio isn't music for any reason.
Well, I wasn't suggesting, I was just saying it's a different branch.
Of course, yes. Dennis, we heard the opening drum roll of The Thievish Magpie. We'll hear a few more bars from the overture, after which tell us either what the story is about, please, or what it might be about. Either will do. What happens in the story, Dennis?
Well, there's this magpie.
There is.
Yeah.
You're on.
Yeah. I can only presume, as you know, I don't know the story, but I should think it's the same story as goes through, I would imagine, practically every folklore and also quite a few pulp detective magazine stories about somebody who's unjustly accused of stealing something which actually some bird has come down for his nest. It must be one of the oldest story constructions that there are.
That's right. A servant girl condemned for stealing a spoon is pardoned when it's found in the magpie's nest. Yes.
Well done.
Memorable moments from song lyrics. Question is, which song provides the answer? John, whose hungry mouth is pressed against whose sweet flowing breast?
Can we sing?
You can sing if you want to. Yes, do sing, Frank. Go on.
Do you think I know this song?
Oh, I'm thinking you know it, and Frank is going to sing it.
Poems are made.
Yes, but can you sing the line?
By fools like me.
Can't you sing the line?
The trouble is, it's not much of a clue.
Whose hungry mouth is pressed against whose sweet flowing breast?
The tree.
Yes, that's right. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against what? Whose
sweet flowing breast?
The earth.
Yes,
Frank, whose bosom has snow on it?
The tree.
Yes, thank you. Ian, we'll change the song, I think. Ian, what tool does the umbrella man use for repairing parasols?
Oh.
He repairs them.
Think of the middle bit.
With what you call a thingamajig.
Yeah, a thingamajig. Bring your parasol, it may be small, it may be big. He repairs them all with what you call a thingamajig. Yeah, marked you. Dennis, what do you fondle when you can't fondle the hand you're fond of?
I fondle the hand at hand. That's right. Yes. Yes. From if I'm not near the girl I love.
When I can't fondle the hand I'm fond of, I fondle the hand at hand. Yes. From Harburg and Lane. Let's move on to our party pieces, the singing round, the four final songs. They're all about love, the pleasures, the doubts, the tortures of love. John, the pleasure of love, plaisir d'amour.
All right.
I'll give you a sort of rumbling type of
intro.
Don't ruin it, because I like
it. I'll try not to.
Yes. Wait for next week.
You always sing French that I can understand. That's what's nice about
it. Nice,
isn't
it? Yeah. Frank, when I spoke of the doubts and tortures of love, I had in mind your song, I Wonder Who's Kissing Her Now. Original song of jealousy.
Oh, lovely.
It's terribly old, isn't it? It's about 70 years old. I wonder who's kissing her now. I wonder who's teaching her how. I wonder who's looking into her eyes, breathing sighs, telling lies. I wonder if she's got a boy, that girl who once filled me with joy. I wonder if she ever tells him of me. I wonder who's kissing her now.
What happened to the wine? Hmm? Wasn't there a line about, I wonder who's buying the wine for lips of the...
Yes.
Yeah. Did you miss that?
You want the second verse?
Oh, sorry.
By popular demand.
I missed that. Do you remember that comic doublet? You used to say, what part of a girl... is a now.
Yes.
That's the end, is it?
Yeah.
I don't rub their noses in it, Steve.
No. Dennis, what is the use of loving a girl if the girl don't love you?
Right.
That one.
Yeah, What is the use of loving a girl if the girl don't love you? What is the use of loving a girl when you know she don't want you to? What if she's fair beyond all compare, and what if her eyes are blue? What is the use of loving a girl if the girl don't love you?
That would make a good tango.
Do
it.
Yes.
Go on.
No, it'd make a good tango.
Shall we?
Yes.
Good, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Ian, for you, from you, rather, a lovely song by Carrie Jacobs Bond, Just a Weary In For You.
Okay.
Yes.
Just a weary in for you. All the time I feel in blue, wishing for you, wondering when you'll be coming home again. Restless, don't know what to do. comes, the birds awake, used to sing so for your sake. But there's sadness in the notes that comes trilling from their throats. Seem to feel your absence too. Just a weary for you.
Thank you. Lovely song. It's followed by Good News, Folks. The winners this week by a wide margin, John Amis and Frank Muir.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.